Welcome back to the second part of the start of Teams. Okay, in this sub-session, you know, we are going to talk about remaining R's, okay, from three R's, which they are roles and rewards, okay? So, are you ready to talk about the roles and reward? Let's begin with role first. What is the role? Okay, so the role refers to a set of your rights or rules and generalized behavioral expectations linked to your position in your company. Okay, in your company, in a social group. In this case, your social group is your startup. Okay, anyways, the role is your right and responsibility, associated with your position in the company. Okay, this is the role. The founders, think about it, the founders have many roles at first, okay, in the company. So for example, you know, founders should become the sales managers, you know, finance executives, operation chief, and investor relations liaison, and opportunity spotter, investor, spokesperson, boss, negotiator, etc., etc. And other people said that, you know, you wear the many hats at the same time. So I asked ChatGPT to draw this picture. Look at this. Okay, you are founder and you wear many hats. Okay, basically you wear three hats. You are financer and marketer and engineers. And on the top, I don't know what it is. Anyway, like a singer. Okay, so you wear many hats, right? So if you are, if you have co-founders, then you know split, you know, the distributing the roles in your founding team is very important. Okay, in order to make a work very effectively and efficiently. Okay, but early on, the founders often wear many hats, as I already mentioned that. But as teams grow, your role should be changed. Okay, your role should become the more specialized. Okay, do you understand that? Okay, it's pretty easy, right? So our question is, how to split the roles across the founders? How to split it? Okay, the first stage, you know, scholars suggest you guys to discuss this issue, you know, early on. Okay, how early? When you start your businesses, you discuss the role before you start a business, okay? So have open, you know, the conversation about your responsibility from the starting point, okay? The sooner, the better. I'm gonna give you examples, okay? Look at these three guys, okay? Three guys again. Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Mike McCullough. Okay, they started Apple Computer in 1977 officially, okay? And Steve Jobs was responsible for kind of entire company, okay? Responsible for kind of storytelling, responsible for some kind of entire design of this, you know, the product, okay? On the other hand, Steve Wozniak is kind of a tech guy, and he focused much more on kind of technology or product itself, okay? What about Mike McCullough? Okay, Mike McCullough was original investors. Okay, he was the angel investors. He came from Intel, okay? And he knew the businesses. He knew the strategy, okay? So his responsibility was about kind of, you know, strategies or management or businesses or external relationship with investors, something like that, okay? Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Mike McCullough. So let's look at it. Second one, you know, although you have a clear, you know, role split early on, you need to regularly check out your role, okay, and try to update your role, you know, between you and your co-founders, okay? So you revisit your roles and your co-founders' roles regularly. As your startup grow, then probably your priority of the company changes. Okay, for example, at the very early stage of the company, and top priority would be kind of preparation of the new, you know, service and product, and, you know, attracting the new consumers or generating or external, you know, the investment or something like that. But as startup grow, then probably top priority will be changed, right? So that's why you need to reassess and redefine your role together. I want to give you an example. Okay, look at this picture. Look at these characters. You know, the left guy is Enrique Dubugras, and right guy is the Pedro Franceschi. Okay, these two guys met, you know, when they were high school student, okay, in Brazil, and then later they study abroad in America at Stanford University. Then at the Stanford University, as they are freshmen, and they entered the Y Combinator, which is accelerating program, because they had startup experience before in Brazil. Okay, their expertise is fintech businesses. So they had already the great experience about the fintech. Then they started the fintech business again in America. Okay. So that's why they applied the Y Combinator programs. And at that time, they were just 20 years old, okay? 19, 20 years old. And Enrique Dubugras, the left guy, he's a kind of an extrovert guy. He's tall and handsome, and he talks very well. And the right guy is, the Pedro Franceschi. He's kind of a little bit introvert. He's a genius about the technology. You know, he was very famous for hacking Apple phone in Brazil, okay? So that's why he was very famous in his country. So anyway, in early day of Brex, Enrique Dubugras and Pedro Franceschi started as co-CEOs. Okay, we are co-CEOs, okay? So our duties and our rights are same because we are all co-CEOs, okay? But informally, Pedro focused more on engineering part, and informally, Enrique Dubugras handled external responsibilities. Okay, and so this is kind of an informal role split. Informal, but later what happened? As Brex grow, they need to reassess and redefine their roles. So they decided to divide their labor more formally. So the Pedro Franceschi, which is in this case the left guy, Pedro Franceschi lead the internal organization. On the other hand, Enrique Dubugras lead to external duties, okay? Formally. Then later, the Brex grow and they get old, then what happened? In 2024, Brex moved to the single CEO structure. Okay, they want to move to the kind of a traditional organization structure, which is a single CEO structure. Previously, we adopt co-CEO structure, but it is not effective right now, not efficient right now, okay? Because we become kind of a decacorn, unicorn company. We become a unicorn company. So later we should adopt, kind of a formal traditional organization structure, which is a single CEO structure. So in this case, Pedro Franceschi becomes a single CEO. On the other hand, Enrique Dubugras became kind of a chairman of the board members. And then he stepped back from day-to-day operations. Okay? This is a clear example about the revisiting, your role regularly, okay, inside the co-founding team. So, Enrique Dubugras became the chairman of the board, and, Pedro Franceschi became the solo CEO. Okay, third step is when you build up your team, you consider, complementary skill set. When you build up your team, and you'd better build a team with diverse and complementary skills in order to cover all core functions inside the company, okay? Think about inside the company. There are many different types of functions. For example, marketing, operations, and technology, of course. Finance, accounting, right? And human resource, okay? And the law, right? Law or, government relationship, something like that. Or media relationship. Wow, there are a lot of functions in it, okay? You cannot cover all the functions. if we have two members as a co-founders, then you divide the labor to cover each sessions. Okay? It is a complementary skills. So that's why diverse team is important. Look at these guys. Okay, this company is Latinar. Latinar is a startup that provides a solution for the augmented reality. It's a kind of a futuristic company. Okay? And luckily, one of the co-founders, you know, graduated from Hanyang University, and he, you know, one of the co-founders is my student, okay? And I took the interview and I write the scholarly paper and published the paper to the Korean journals many years ago. And, you know, the Hanyang University student was a left guy. His name was Kim Jae-hyuk, okay? He majored in industry engineering, Hanyang University. He, you know, he actually lived in Hanyang University dormitory, okay, for 2 years. And the right guy is Ha Jong-hoon. Ha Jong-hoon and Kim Jae-hyuk were, you know, school friends, you know, when they are a high school student, okay? And Ha Jong-hoon entered the Hongik University and he majored in material engineering. And he is very interested in kind of new materials, okay, engineering part. And also, he's an extrovert, but he's really like to make something new. On the other hand, Kim Jae-hyuk, although he's a little bit shy and a little bit introvert, but he's really good at managing the conflict, okay? Managing the conflict, and he's really good at listening to other people's complaint, other people's feedback, and also he's really good at kind of making relationship with others out there. Although he's shy, although he's an introvert, so he's wow, it's a surprise, okay? It's not expected. Anyway, so that's why they divided their role two parts, okay? So the Kim Jae-hyuk, you know, he took the CEO position because he wanna control for entire company, okay? On the other hand, you know, Ha Jong-hoon, he took CTO part, which is technology part, okay? So they thought they have two different skill sets. Okay, two different personality, two different skill set, two different capabilities. So they work together very well. So they make a Retinal much bigger company. Okay, Retinal received a lot of money from the Google, from the Naver, from somewhere else. So later, I believe the Retinal will be next unicorn company in Korea. Okay, I want to introduce one of the relevant and new research to you guys. Okay. Look at this research together. And three researchers conducted field experiment. And, you know, surprisingly, one of the researchers is my the PhD supervisor. Okay, he is a renowned professor in Canada. Anyway, they basically assigned 573 students to 49, you know, teams, kind of a random team, 49 team. And then they want to investigate the effect of the diversity among the team on the performance of the team. But the interesting thing is, in this study, the diversity is not just diversity in terms of your major or your knowledge. Okay? They try to assess the diversity in kind of cognitive abilities. Okay, think about it. Different people have different cognitive abilities. Some guys very smart, some guys, you know, just middle smart, some guys, you know, not smart. Okay, something like that. Okay, different people have a different level of, you know, the cognitive abilities. We say cognitive abilities, high IQ, low IQ, something like that. So anyway, if we have 49 random team, then some team have the members whose cognitive abilities are high. Abilities are high. So in this team, average cognitive abilities is very high. Okay. Or all the team was made up of the people whose cognitive abilities are pretty low. So in this team, you know, average cognitive abilities kind of low. So we just naturally expect that if we have a team with a high level of cognitive abilities, then this team can produce, you know, better performance compared to the other teams, right? But these researchers want to assess the kind of a different concept, which is a cognitive ability diversity. It means that some team has kind of a diverse level of cognitive abilities. Other team has kind of a similar level of cognitive abilities. Everybody high, everybody low. Diversity cognitive ability means, you know, some people high, some people has a high level of cognitive abilities, some people have a low level of cognitive abilities. They are mixed up. You know what I mean? Smart guy, not smart guy, mixed up. But in this team, all smart or all not smart. Okay, something like that. So they look at this kind of effect. Then what happened? You know, startup team performance is maximized at the kind of moderate level of cognitive ability diversity. Okay? So, you know, kind of a little bit blend of cognitive abilities is better for the startup. You know what I mean? So neither at the highest level, highest average, you know, abilities or no greatest diversity. Okay, so everybody different. Everybody different is not good. Everyone high, not good. Okay, the best team is the blend of cognitive ability diversity. Okay, so the conclusion is the balanced team with a mix of the cognitive abilities is the best. Okay, so your team leader, very smart, middle manager, a little bit smart, and STEM member, not smart, middle smart, not smart, okay, everything, everybody different in terms of the cognitive abilities. Okay, in this case, we can perform much better than the other teams. So, please look at this research very carefully. Okay, when you build up your team members, okay, when you build up team, when you recruit your team members, just look at the cognitive abilities too, right? It will be very helpful. Okay, let's move on to the last R, which is reward. Okay, reward is associated with how to split your equity. Well, there are the common method for splitting your equity. The first one, well, we can split equity equally, right? It's pretty easy. You know, each co-founder should receive the same percentage of the equity. You know, if you have two, 50-50. If you have three, 33-33-33, right? It's pretty easy. So, you know, this method has a, you know, benefit, which is pretty simple, fast, and fair. Okay, looks fair. And there is a disadvantages, you know, may be viewed less favorably by investors. Investors do not like it this way. Okay, do you remember, you know, the investors' point of view, right? Investors really love, you know, dominated company, okay? Well, look at this. This is, you know, early day of the Google. And two guys started this company, Larry Page and Sergey Brin. And they split their equity 50-50, right? You know that? Wow, it's a kind of equal-based, you know, equity. Well, it's Airbnb again. Nathan, you know, Brian Chesky, Joe Gebbia. And those three people started this company, and they split the equity kind of equally. So 33-33-33 is pretty easy. Okay, this is the common method for splitting equity. These days, so many co-founded company adopted this way, right? Okay, let's move on. Second method is a value-based, you know, split. Value-based split means the equity is allocated based on, you know, each founder's contributions, okay? So for example, if you put tons of time, tons of money, tons of expertise, and if you have a prior experience, and if you developed some kind of new technologies, and you have a patent, then, you know, you contribute a lot to this company. So that's why you took more equity. So this is a benefit, more nuanced and fair. Okay, it looks more fair, okay, than just equal split. And then there's a disadvantages, a little bit difficult. And, you know, in order to decide your equity position, you need to discuss a lot. And also you should reach out the agreement to each other. Okay? I want to give you an example of the real startup situation. Look at the picture. So left guy is Paul Allen and right guy is Bill Gates. Okay. They are, you know, high school friends, but Paul Allen is older than Bill Gates. And Bill Gates at that time dropped out of the Harvard University. So they discussed about their equity split. So initially, Bill Gates and Paul Allen had 60 to 40 equity split. Yes, of course, Bill Gates has 60% and Paul Allen had 40%. Okay, they discussed about their equity split and they reach out this difference equity. Then later what happened? You know, Bill Gates, you know, tried to push for the, you know, renegotiation about the equity split. So the Bill Gates asked a lot. So they decided to 64 to 36% of the equity. Okay, so the Bill Gates got 4% more. And the Paul Allen lost 4%. Okay, so the Paul Allen was very disappointed with this decision. Then later, you know, he left the company. Okay, this is a kind of, you know, value-based split. At that time, Bill Gates, you know, argued that he contributed a lot to this, you know, Microsoft, because he developed, you know, basic program, and also he quit his study, and he, you know, basically put tons of effort and energy to develop the software. So that's why he deserved to more equity. Okay, this is the argument. Let's move on. Okay, third method is role-based split. What it is? Okay, role-based split is your equity is divided according to the role and the responsibility. What is that? You know, if you are CEO, then you got more. Okay? If you're CTO, then you got more than CMO. CMO means Chief Marketing Manager, Marketing Officer. So there's advantages. Okay, it aligned very well with your key position. Yes, of course, you know, CEO got more equity. CEO's salary should be better than the other position, right? It's kind of obvious. There's a disadvantages, you know, role. Your role may evolve, may change it, okay? If your role changes, then what happened? We should renegotiate your equity again and again, okay? Kind of, this is an endless story. It's a disadvantages. Okay, regarding the reward, I want to introduce kind of a new research about that. Okay, look at this. These researchers, you know, conducted kind of an experiment. Then basically, they made, you know, two-person teams with 54 students, okay? It's kind of a random teams. And then they asked the teams to decide, you know, how to split their equity, okay? So then, you know, the researchers try to analyze the impact of the contract form regarding equity split. Okay, so for example, it's an equal split equity, equal split form or a contribution-based split form. Okay, there are two different types of form. And of course, you know, the teams can choose their own, you know, contract form. Okay, right now we are a team. Then, you know, how to split our equity? What about equal-based? What about contribution-based? Okay, they can decide. They can decide their the form, okay, contract form. Okay, then what happened? What is the result? Okay, which teams perform better? Okay, this is the kind of question. So what about the conclusion? Non-equal contracts. Okay, non-equal contracts outperform equal contracts. Okay, equal split. In other words, you know, contribution-based contract, contribution-based split of the equity perform better than equal split of the equity. Wow. So the Google adopted the equal split, you know, Airbnb adopted the equal split. What are they? Yes, they are exceptional case. Okay, they are outlier, but on average, non-equal contracts better than equal contracts. So please remember that, okay? So the Bill Gates is smart. Okay, Bill Gates is smart. So the equal split, why is it happening? Because if you have equal split, then equal split itself attract lower contributors. Okay, so lower contributors prefer equal split. Okay, it's obvious. Because, you know, although he or she does not, you know, contribute a lot to the company, they receive the same equity, right? So that's why there's a kind of a disadvantages of the equal split. So the person who selected each contract determined the performance. So the person determined the performance, not just incentive structure itself. Okay, why is it happening? Person who need equal split, they are ready not to contribute to the company. So that's why the company's performance is decreased. What do you think? Is it interesting? Okay, so please remember this story. It will be very helpful for you to determine your equity split between your co-founders.